broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for March 29th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. The solutions are simple, ladies and gentlemen. Return to what made America great, the principles of the founding fathers, incredible. And that is the great peaceful solutions we have, to return to what made America great. In short, to preserve the nation, ladies and gentlemen, that is the goal. In fact, our guest, that is his lifetime goal, to preserve the nation in the traditions of our founding fathers. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com, with over 1,000 videos and webinars and more. Weekly webinars take place now with Q&As on the Constitution and more. But you can also learn about and purchase his collegiate series, To Preserve the Nation. Dr. Scott Bradley, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Well, thank you very much. As always, it's good to have a early morning on the first of the week gathering and kind of get people focused on an issue that ought to be on our minds all the time, I think, this idea of restoring the foundation.
All right, I want to talk about three topics. They're all separate topics in one way, but they're all literally identical topics in another way. It's about freedom from tyrannical, belligerent, out of control, psychotic in many ways, government, Dr. Bradley. The first one, show me your papers, please. Yes, indeed. Show me your papers, please. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo announced that New York has rolled out the nation's first COVID vaccine passport program. It's the introduction of his new Excelsior Pass. Is what they're calling an Excelsior Pass. They've now rolled it out in New York. In addition, they have literally National Guard members involved in the 12 airports in New York. Literally, the National Guard is helping screen people to make sure that people are compliant. And then they're using this Excelsior Pass now at all kinds of venues, not just airlines or, you know, airports and stuff, but they're using it at all kinds of venues, stadiums and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We talked about it coming. Here it is, Doctor.
You know, there's so many things to pull on this thing. Obviously, New York has not fared well through the COVID thing. They have driven so many of their businesses out of the community with everything they've done there. And it didn't start just a year ago. This has been going on with tax structure and draconian government intervention on so many levels. And I suspect that at some point there'll be just denizens of the night left in the city because they have driven out all honorable people that have another option. And hopefully they'll find that there is a price to be paid for draconian actions. But beyond this, too, it's kind of a refrain from Israel, what we're getting right now. Israel has basically on a nationwide basis implemented this kind of process. It is truly a socialistic welfare state, collectivist view on things, where the state takes control of all things. And you know, you would think that the people of Israel would say, you know what, we've been down this path before, and it hasn't ever turned out happily for our people, meaning the people that live there and their progenitors. And so, I mean, it's not just the Hitlerish kind of thing. I mean, we're talking about whether it's Nebuchadnezzar or Rome or whomever. But this Cuomo thing, he's a megalomaniac. And I cannot believe that the state has not at this point said, you know what, we don't need any more of his nonsense. I mean, he's probably the most prolific serial killer in all of the history of the United States with the way he handled the things with the people in the rest homes. But truly, this is a militaristic state. If you have how far is this from the Brown Church or the Gestapo or whatever on street corners, you know, papers, you know, you think of those guys in the 30s and 40s in Germany. You think of the Stasi in Germany also after the, you know, the East German secret police. You think of the KGB. You think of the people that ran around in Saddam Hussein's countryside controlling and being tyrants over the people. I mean, this thing is just a replay, and it's astonishing to me that the people of New York have not decided it's time to dump this whole program and move ahead. So, yeah, this is a development, and honestly, I suspect it'll spread before it dies out. It will ultimately die out because tyranny is defeated ultimately in every case, but not without a lot of difficulty for good people. So I think that, you know, what goes right now in Israel is going to go on in New York, and what goes on in New York will go on in California. But the concern I have is that both the East Bank and the left bank of the country are going to set the standard for, you know, people in the middle. Utah, for example, happens to have a very draconian perspective on these kinds of things. The governor... In the case of the last governor and then this one too, they kind of, they're pilot. They're washing their hands before they sacrifice the lamb, if you will. They wash their hands saying, well, it's not us that's doing it. It's the health department. And, I was speaking, midweek last week at an event, in Utah, and, I spoke about why the draconian, mandates were being carried out in just mom and pop kind of stores, you know, retail stores. And I outlined what I felt the scenario was. And afterwards, a woman that owned the store, came and told me it was exactly what had happened. Her store had been entered by the health department, and they had been told that unless they enforced the regulations, and again, these are not laws. These are mandates. These are imperial decrees, if you will. If they did not enforce these imperial decrees that are, do not have the force of law, they didn't go through a constitutional process or anything, but they had been given these laws, if you will, and law is whatever is enforced as such upon the people, although not righteously. If they did not enforce these mandates, that their store would be fined $10,000 a day and ultimately lose their license. And so that caused them to be the Gestapo, the enforcers, the policy implementers for this bureaucracy that has no legal authority to do anything. And it's kind of reminiscent, these guys in the bureaucracy say, well, we're just following orders from what the law says. Well, the law doesn't say, but they twist it and spin it to the point that they think they have unlimited power. And by the way, your readers ought to review a little bit of the trial of Adolf Eichmann in Israel. He was the guy that was the train master, if you will, under Hitler. He was a dull, drab, gray bureaucrat that he kind of scheduled the trains that took the Jews to their concentration points wherein they were then put to death. And his defense was, well, I was just following orders. And there's a book out by the name of a woman by the name of Hannah Arendt. She wrote it back in about 1962, I think. At any rate, it's called The Banality of Evil. You know, banality is the utter mundaneness of evil. And how this dull, drab, gray bureaucrat had performed such a heinous crime against humanity, and he was probably, to this date, probably one of the most studied individuals in terms of psychology and sociology and everything like that that's ever been on in, you know, a live human being. And what those individuals that studied him and, you know, interviewed him and everything, they say he was probably one of the most normal individuals you'd ever meet. He was affable. He, you know, enjoyed conversation. He loved his family. He was, you know, very interactive and everything like that. But he had this little flaw that he would carry out evil things. And it seems to me like people today need to recognize this. As individuals start to recognize that we do not carry out things that have these draconian outcomes. And I've lectured around the country at different places, not so popular right now, about constitutional law, constitutional orders, legal and lawful orders before military organizations. And the law truly protects the individual soldier right down to the lowest level to prevent them from being compelled to carry out things that violate the Constitution and legality. And I've had
the problem is most of them don't know it, so they can't defend against it. They just feel like they have to go along. Michael New, many years ago, was a stand-up guy that really articulated that, and they certainly abused him hard, even though he shouldn't be forced to subscribe to some of these things. They literally blackballed him and caused him a lot of trouble. And so unless enough Americans stand up, individuals seem to get steamrolled. But not only is it a problem where Andrew Cuomo is literally, show me your papers, please, and they're creating this vaccine, whatever you want to call it, passport or whatever. People used to think the Real ID was a big threat back in the day, and now this Real ID has been kind of codified backdoor, and now that they're going to put the vaccine health records behind it, you ain't seen nothing yet into the dereliction of duty these bureaucrats will get into and the hostility in which they will carry out their tyrannical abuses of the people. Combine that with the Magic Kingdom and a couple of other tidbits, and I'm telling you right now, you ain't seen nothing yet. We'll talk about it with Dr. Scott Bradley in seconds.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, Dr. Scott Bradley with me, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about this tyrannical edict from the whacked-out Governor Cuomo of New York. States just need to say no, says Mike Meharry of the 10th Amendment Foundation. And I agree with the general point, but look, states are as tyrannical as the federal government, ladies and gentlemen. I get that the states are closer to the people and people kind of think the federal government's evil and the states are good, but it's not necessarily true. You got to step back and look at, we the people have given certain consent. By the consent of the governed do governments derive their just powers. We didn't give consent to any state to say you can create a federal or a state. I say federal because, hey, where will the data really go in New York? Anyway, they're creating this database that'll make the Real ID Act look like a child's play database. And now they're going to do it by a COVID vaccine passport. So not only is it an ID tied to who knows what, eventually your driver's license, your Social Security stuff, your medical records, all rolled into one. Show me your papers, please. Where will that go? But now private sector businesses are being brought in a very bold way as well. It's like fascism on steroids. Here's the headline, Dr. Bradley, to go along with this. Florida, Magic Kingdom, says COVID-19 is reason to install facial recognition. So now you get this facial recognition, and the Capitol riots on January 6th kind of solidifies the playbook. They will literally use that facial recognition and that database now to hunt you down across the country for whatever perceived violation you may have committed, sir. There will be nobody untouched. And where will that database from the Magic Kingdom go with the database of New York go? And now Bill Gates, don't worry, he's going to make sure that he'll use his applications to make sure your kids can go to the government schools. You put all these together and you go, whoa, hold on just a minute, doctor.
You know, it's something that, unbeknownst to probably most Americans, and you know, who would think? I mean, most of us are just, you know, hey, we want to go through our lives, take care of our families, do our jobs, you know, go out and take a hike or go to the zoo or whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it. And most people don't think about this, but this thing has been underway. It's way down the road now. Some decades ago, literally, in Utah was selling a database officially taken photographs of people, you know, for driver license or ID cards or something like that, and selling it to private industry to be able to do just this thing, begin moving towards a fully functioning facial recognition program. And we are years into this thing. And the technology has been advanced and honed. And now I guess they're figuring it's ready to roll it out. And we as Americans should be absolutely appalled, shocked, and chagrined to think that those trusted representatives that we have are using this for such benign ways. Oh, yes, we'll never use this wrong or whatever. But you're right. This is going to get into multiple different hands, and you say, well, government can be trusted with it. What? My opinion, they're the ones that can be least trusted with it. But beyond that, too, it will get into the hands of others that will be able to use it for commercial purposes. I mean, the Chamber of Commerce will probably be in favor of it so they can do marketing to people as they enter stores, and they're going to sell some brand of toothpaste or clothing or something like that based upon your facial recognition that's tied into a database that ultimately and finally, does a full workup on you, and they can play to that. You get it on the internet already, where you...
Yeah, you're one of those wackos that doesn't believe in fluoride in the toothpaste there. We better market you the non-fluoride toothpaste there, Scott. And, you know, that's kind of the stuff we're talking about, right?
Well, it must be. I mean, I don't know exactly all the applications that will be given, but I'll tell you a little story. And I don't know the origins of this. It might be my political rantings. I don't know. People that I've gone to introduce myself, and they've said, we know who you are, you know, kind of thing. And you go, whoa, how do you do that? Anyway, maybe it was a newspaper article they read. But a couple of events that I have been to in the last, well, the most recent one was probably about 5 years ago, because I don't go to a lot of these things. I have just said I do not even consider these things to be worthy of my time. But a couple of major events. One of them it wasn't an event, but I was going with my grandchildren to Disneyland. And, you go through it's not just going through the turnstiles after you've bought your ticket. Now you go through security and so on. And I got pulled aside for additional security. They checked me out. Now maybe I'm an ugly guy and maybe I look threatening or dangerous or something like that. I don't know. I try to be a good guy and never involve myself in anything that's hurtful, but to get pulled aside by the Disneyland security people as I came into the park was one of the things that happened. That was probably 5 years ago to me. And so this kind of stuff, I don't know how they profiled me or whatever they did, but I have even been to a major religious event one time that happened to me. And I had VIP tickets to get in, so to speak. I mean, it wasn't like I bought tickets or anything like that, but I'm invited to a VIP kind of entry and everything like that. And of our whole group, I was the only one that was pulled aside for additional security. And I think,
And what were the reasons? What were they saying the reasons or excuses were on this, Doctor?
There's no reason given. There's just, and it's a happy, smiling face. You know, the teeth show, you know, one of my daughters many, many years ago had a Chihuahua dog that it bared its teeth at you every time it saw you. It was, in my opinion, as an adult, I saw it as a threatening thing. But my littlest grandchildren said, oh, every time it sees us, it's smiling. Well, the teeth can be used for to show a smile, but it was a threatening. Some of those little dogs are very kind of high-strung and worried. But at any rate, sure, there was a smiling, affable kind of person that wanted to, you know, check underneath my clothes and pat me down and all this kind of stuff as I came through. And I'd been through all of the rigmarole, the sensors and everything like that, empty the pockets, show inside your pack, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so, no, this has been going on a long time. It's going to get even more intense, I suspect. And the fact that they're bringing in the military, and that kind of ties into what I mentioned earlier, was that in my presentations to military organizations, I've seen a full spectrum. Commanding officers that are very supportive of constitutional, legal, lawful orders, and they want their people to understand the limits and bounds. And there have been others that absolutely, unequivocally are totally against anybody having any information that way. And in fact, I had one 05, that's a lieutenant colonel, tell me that his 06, a colonel, had told him that regardless of what the order was, and he said that if you will not instantly obey whatever I command you to do, I want your resignation on my desk today, now. And so we have a whole spectrum of military personnel. Now, I've got a good friend that's a retired senior officer in intelligence. He tells me that many of the people that were in the military with him say that the day that the military lost its bearings was January 20th, 1993. That's when it really started going off the rails. And if you go back and think that, when, what, huh? Well, that was the day Bill Clinton was sworn in. And I took the oath, if you will, when I joined as a young fellow. It says you're going to uphold the Constitution and protect them from all enemies, foreign and domestic. It's not a frangible oath. It's not something that after a while expires or breaks down or anything like that. It's an oath that I've taken for life to protect that, you know, charter of our liberty. But many of those that have come in now have become so completely, the political correctness, the woke generation. And I mean, you've seen things in West Point, for example, those female cadets that you know, held up the Marxist fist, you know, in their photos that they had. And it's just appalling to me. But the military really does need to do a recalibration on what its purpose is and what the oath really has been. And by the way, the oath has been modified over the years to the point that it's been weakened, in my opinion. So...
So a national ID on steroids, ladies and gentlemen, a national ID on steroids backed by government, backed by big companies doing surveillance on the people, the military involved, the searching and hunting you down by facial recognition, part of the mix. And I got one more headline to kind of throw into the mix for discussion with the good Dr. Scott Bradley. FreedomsRisingSun.com in seconds on your radio.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Yeah.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The White House says the number of unaccompanied children crossing the border could jump up from more than 16,000 this month to as many as 26,000 in September. No one knows for sure as the Biden administration continues to censor the media from border facilities. The White House is working on a COVID-19 vaccine passport initiative that could be required for travel, sporting events, and even eating out. The report comes as major U.S. airlines and nearly 30 travel and labor groups are pushing President Biden to develop a standardized government-backed credential. Two girls ages 13 and 15 were charged with the murder and carjacking of a Pakistani immigrant killed last week while delivering food in Washington, D.C. Muhammad Anwar, 66, died when police said the girls, armed with a taser, sped off with his car as he clung to the driver's side door with the door open. It crashed seconds later outside the ballpark to the Washington Nationals. Mr. Anwar died at the scene. USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allyn for our newest sponsor, Asset Strategies, or ASI for short. ASI is a precious metals powerhouse. They sell gold and silver. Never in history has there been a more important moment to buy gold and silver. ASI has been in business for 39 years. They've served over 20,000 clients and sold $5 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious metals with zero complaints. Last year, gold saw gains of 25%. Silver nearly doubled gold's performance. Now Democrats are in charge. Green New Deal, open borders, free healthcare for illegals. Bail out broke cities and states. The debt is about to go through the stratosphere. The time to buy is now. The owners of ASI, Michael and Rich Chekin, have been my close personal friends for 16 years. ASI is the company I trust when it comes to buying and selling precious metals. Call now to receive a free consultation and a free 1 ounce silver eagle with every qualifying purchase when you mention the Wayne Allyn Root Show. Call 800-831-0007. That's 800-831-0007. Or visit assetstrategies.com.
More free money, more fraud. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The Senate voted last week to extend the Paycheck Protection Program through the end of May, as thousands of small businesses are still looking for help to weather the pandemic. But a House subcommittee has also found evidence of mismanagement of the program that led to billions of dollars of fraud. The House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus says there may have been as much as $84 billion worth of fraudulent loans from the PPP. Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy says that Congress tried to make it easy for businesses to get the help they needed. But the Illinois Democrat tells CBS News that additional resources will be needed to make sure that those loans reach the businesses that truly need help and not fraudsters.
Now, going forward, we have to root out the fraud. So we've provided additional resources within the American Rescue Plan to allow inspectors general, as well as the Department of Justice, to criminally go after these fraudsters. And we need to put in controls to prevent this from happening again as well.
USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live. Dr. Scott Bradley with me, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the sacred cause of liberty, and we're telling you that the states are many times just as tyrannical as the federal government. Look at Florida, for example. The governor's trying to do what's right, Ron DeSantis, but yet the Magic Kingdom says, hey, COVID is a great excuse for putting in facial recognition. Then you look at Show Me Your Papers, Please, whacked out pervert sexual predator Cuomo announced that New York has rolled out now the first what they call the COVID-19 vaccine passport. They're calling it the Excelsior Pass. But bottom line is it's real ID on steroids tied in with who knows what. Eventually, you'll have a mixing between your gun firearm database, your driver's license database, your voting database, your medical database, your Social Security database, your they'll just put the private sector in there, your facial recognition database, through the Magic Kingdom scenario, happiest place on surveillance, I mean on Earth, right? What? That's where we're headed. Sad to say that's where we're going. Now, add to this the mix. I mentioned to you that back on January the 6th, they literally used it as a way to say, look, let's scour through Facebook and Twitter, all social media accounts, through everything we can, through video, through surveillance, through YouTube, Facebook, everything. And we're going to then hunt you down. If you were there, we're going to know about it. We're going to hunt you down. And at first glance, you could say, well, man, there was an insurrection at the Capitol. By golly, they had to do that. You got to stop the bad guy. No. They're literally creating a dragnet of psychotic surveillance proportions. Here's the latest. Remember I told you not so fast on the January 6th Capitol stuff? I said it wasn't good Trump supporters. Most of them went home. Most of them were peaceful. There was a few insurrectionists there. There was a few violent people there. No doubt about that. But they weren't the masses like they want you to believe. They want everyone to be blackballed into this dragnet narrative, right? There were the few. Here's the proof. Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. FBI and the Department of Homeland Security tried to recruit former Green Beret and Special Forces Master Sergeant Jeremy Brown. They tried to recruit him to infiltrate and spy on Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys. Yeah, the FBI did that. The Homeland Security tried to do this. He refused, by the way, and he recorded the whole conversation. It's all on tape, ladies and gentlemen. So this is an example where now you get this strange narrative where, wait a minute, it was a bunch of Trump supporter wackos. Now, Trump doesn't have any charges filed against him at all, which means they don't have anything on President Trump. They're just making these strange allegations. We find out they lied. And even in the impeachment trial, they used those false narrative, fake news lies in the news to really ratchet up the attack on President Trump that he caused all this trouble. But the fact is, the narrative fell apart, and Trump has no charges against him whatsoever. All right, but now we find out that there's an infiltrator from the FBI. Who did they get to infiltrate? If this one guy they tried to get to refused, who did they get? Who did the FBI and the DHS get? The Green Beret Special Forces Master Sergeant refused. Jeremy Brown, he recorded it all on tape so that you don't question him. He can prove it. But here's the question. Who did they get to recruit? And why are they recruiting people to internally spy on organizations? Right? You've got a very serious narrative there. And when they're literally now hunting down people. And but every false flag operation, Dr. Bradley, that we've seen, they say we're into conspiracy theory. But every time we find out government provocateurs, agent provocateurs, internal infiltration groups and spies are in the mix. That was the same thing with the Ammon Bundy situation, where Ammon Bundy spent 2 years in prison and was guilty in the end of nothing. And the only people that were really abused by the courts was when the judge said, hey, the FBI and the these groups created treason. Oh, I'm sorry, they didn't create treason, the court said. They just lied to the court and perjured themselves, and they withheld exculpatory evidence, and it was so egregious they threw out the whole case. Of course, nobody got in trouble. But I bring all this up because you find out every time something goes off the rails and they blame it on the people or insurrectionists, it turns out the government's right in the center of it somehow every single time, Doctor.
Well, you're absolutely correct. I don't know how far back your listeners' attention span on this thing goes, but let's just go back at least until Ruby Ridge and Randy Weaver. I mean, he was originally approached by federal agents to rat out, if you will, some of the people that they felt he was associating with in regards to, you know, a white supremacist kind of group up in that area where he was living. And because he said, no, I'm not going to do that, then they set him up for the fall on a short-barreled shotgun, you know, in violation that supposedly violated the National Firearms Act of 1934. But when he continued to not capitulate, they ended up sending federal forces in and assassinating part of his family, and they falsified evidence. When Jerry Spence did the defense of Randy Weaver, what was found was that they planted evidence. I mean, this whole thing smelled to high heaven from the very get-go on the whole thing. There was nothing ever that was right about this thing. You look at what happened in the Oak City bombing, the Oklahoma City bombings, where Timothy McVeigh and his buddy that couldn't set off a firecracker in the backyard without help supposedly set off they detonated a Ryder truck that was filled with explosives that literally, if you know anything about explosive devices, it used reflective technology that was way beyond, you know, the skill of an 11 Bravo kind of infantry guy, to force a blast the way it does. We have very strong evidence. There were preset charges in there. I mean, you look at every single stinking pathway they've gone down. The Mueller refuge thing that you talked about with the Bundys, and you know, Lavoie Finicum was assassinated by officers, and I'm not sure it was just federal. They might have been state officers. I think that's being heard, you know, even as we speak. But
and that's why I warn against putting too much trust in the states as well, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, absolutely. You look at the Declaration of Independence, and you know, the all men are created equal kind of thing, and they're endowed by their Creator with inalienable rights. After mentioning a few, it says the purpose of government is to secure those rights. There is not a boundary on that. There is not a at the general level, the national level. That's what government's for, is to protect God-given rights. Or it's across the board. It goes from your lowest level municipality. Look at any organization, your health department. If they are an agent of the government, they have a responsibility to protect individual rights. And what Americans don't seem to understand is this Declaration of Independence is basically the promise that was made that this is what proper government should do. And we have abandoned that almost across the board at every level. And those that are least qualified to lead are called upon often to do so, because we simply we put too much trust in it. Oh, let's give it to somebody else. So we've got a very high percentage. Now, there's a few very rare exceptions, but a very high percentage of incompetents that are incapable of appropriately governing, that are now doing things. And it's from the highest level of this land now, sitting in office. We have a doddering individual that handlers are running him, and he's doing things like wanting to put firearms things together in terms of confiscating firearms on a nationwide basis based upon things that completely violate due process and the Second Amendment and all Americanist principles. And it's not just guns, and it's not just vaccines or anything. This is across the board. We are in a hinge point in America now, where because we have abandoned principle, we're in danger, truly, of losing this nation. So it's time for Americans to wake up. It truly is.
Well, and when you look every single time, if we're patient, whenever something bad happens, you go, wait a minute, and now you got these shootings that are happening on mass scale. As soon as Biden takes over, the shootings increase big time. And you go, you know what? Are those provocateur moments as well? And then when you study, you find out psychotropic drugs are involved. Or you find out, oh, he was meeting with a psychologist or a psychiatrist. Or, oh, the FBI was aware of this guy and knew that he was mentally ill and knew about his beliefs on things. Or, in other words, there's always this tie that makes you go, man, this isn't spontaneous. This isn't naturally occurring, or whatever you want to say. This is provocateur action. From the COVID to Ammon Bundy to Randy Weaver to the Branch Davidians, when I can go on and on and on. And which ones are unfolding before our very eyes right this second? January 6th? Wow. Hang tight, Dr. Bradley, with me.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's gonna do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
So, Dr. Bradley, I see that, you know what, even in these modern examples, January the 6th, there's all kinds of debates on the timeline. There's all kinds of debates about who was there. Turns out the cops, the FBI, everybody and their dog was told, even Parler, a social media service, told the government there was going to be problems. The government ignored all of it. Then it all went wrong and they blamed it on Trump. Right when Trump was trying to find out about election fraud. And then, hey, now no one's talking about election fraud really at all. Amazing stuff. False flags. I mean, you don't want to just dive into conspiracy and say everything's a false flag. At the same time, it's hard to really believe that it's not when you get so many conflicting, unique details that make you go, wow, I didn't know the FBI and the Homeland Security literally went to a lead military guy and said, hey, let's infiltrate these groups. But yet they say they didn't know anything bad was going to happen. How dumb am I, Dr. Bradley?
Well, I'm not going to make a judgment on your intelligence level. I would say you're pretty high up there. But let's just talk about something for a second. I mean, you touched on it very briefly. Some years ago, I wrote a resolution for a political organization about a class or family of drugs called selective serotonin reuptake indicators, SSRIs. And you could probably name some of these things. There's always a bunch of them coming on the marketplace. And if you listen to television ever, you've got advertisements for these that they're going to make you happy and everything's good in your life. But the side effects that they intone on the commercial talks about, you know, killing your spouse and stuff like that as a possible side effect. But it's very interesting to me that this class of drugs, and now they've been very careful in recent times to not bring forth what used to be more readily available, the individuals that are on these things are involved in these mass shootings, you know, that you mentioned. And really, within recent decades, you know, Columbine High School, Sandy Hook thing, the Aurora Theater shooting, all of these kind of things, in every case that we have ever gotten the information, individuals have been on these things. And these drugs, if you're going to ban anything, it would seem very appropriate to me. You know, you look at the commonality, you see, oh, there are guns involved. Well, the guns were not what caused anything. It was the use of something and the mental state of some individual. And if these type of, selective serotonin reuptake indicators, SSRIs, are always in the mix, it ought to be something that we ought to think about. Maybe there's a cause and effect kind of thing that's involved in these kinds of things. And I wonder somehow if they don't get individuals that are kind of at a tipping point, they're on these things, they know that they're kind of have a propensity to move in kind of really questionable ways, and they don't manipulate and carry out these things. So it's not just provocateurs they put in there that ultimately and finally cause, you know, like, we could name innumerable kinds of instances where these people were there encouraging, bombings or assassinations or kidnappings or whatever, that were actually government agents that pushed people that direction. But there's also some of these prescription-type drugs that, in the cases that we know about, and again, they're protecting these a lot. It's funny. They want to know our whole vaccination history, our political history, our financial history, everything like that. They want to have that on some kind of dossier, but they're hiding from us these SSRI kinds of connections. And again, there's it's a whole broad spectrum of family of drugs that I think can be brought to the forefront, too. I think it's very dangerous, some of the avenues that we're following right now, that we're messing with stuff that we ought not be messing with. And again, I think this family of drugs has got so many risks that maybe it ought to be in the same class as the so-called vaccine, that we don't know whether it's safe or not, or whether it's got long-term adverse effects, or how it's going to ultimately infect me.
You ready for this? Now they say KSL News TV is reporting early studies, antidepressant drug fluvoxamine, that's a generic drug, by the way, helping with COVID-19 recovery. Research at the University of Utah believe the drug works and are now working on studies that document the remarkable results of two earlier trials. So they believe that the drug developed 40 years ago as an antidepressant can be used to stop the COCO. They say it's safe. Don't worry, doctor. They say we need a drug that stops people from getting sick when they get COVID. And that's what we're hoping that fluvoxamine will do, this doctor says.
Well, I can't help but wonder if the assistance this so-called, antidepressant, whatever it is giving, is helping people recover from the depression that has been caused by government action, inappropriate action, by the way, unconstitutional action, violates everything, I mean, from habeas corpus to lack of due process to, I mean, everything. Shutting down businesses, I mean, Article 1, Section 10, I mean, holy cow. At any rate, maybe this thing is found to be beneficial because it helps people overcome depression, but in reality, it is simply another soma. You know, remember soma from Aldous Huxley's book, Brave New World? We in America have adopted soma, and there's a whole spectrum of families of these things where everybody's got to be on their designer drug. It makes them feel good and happy, and they'll go along to get along. And, you know, every government program and official that comes along, they're compliant to. I just think we've
lost the Rolling Stones back in the day. The Rolling Stones back in the day called it Mother's Little Helper there, Dr. Bradley.
Well, everybody's looking for a shortcut. And really, life needs to be faced. I think God put us on the earth so that we could figure out what kind of person we were and are. I think he already knew when he put us here. But if all we're doing is masking and trying to cover up and ducking and dodging every responsibility we have, I think we're missing out on life. And again, it seems like we always swing around somewhere in this, circle into the kind of the wagons where God's involved. But everything we're doing is off track. I mean, think about this. We have these mass shootings, and they want to remove a God-given right, individual God-given right, to protect ourselves and our families and our country. I mean, our community, everything. And so they're taking that away because somebody else went out and violated not only God's commandment, but mankind's commandment, and you know, this injunction against murder, for example. There is never an incidence of these mass shootings where they did not violate not only God's law, but every other human law that's out there. And you're saying one more law, one more approach, one more common sense law, which is really just an interim step to full denial of this individual God-given right. Well, there's we're hacking at the leaves when the real basis of this is how we've left our true purpose in this life. And so we always circle around to this thing as trying to figure out, what this thing's all about, and it engages God in that. It has to. We have
Amen to
do that.
In fact, they're trying to take away that directive of you and I trying to return to God to try to help pray and work hard and trust in God and repent and do all these things to really, that to me is the grandmother of all solutions, is turn back to God and repent. I mean, other things are downstream from that, but without that quintessential fundamental move, we will not change anything long term. We might stopgap measure things with other ideas, but unless we turn to God and repent, I'm telling you right now, we're in trouble, because as long as we turn our back on the author of liberty, we cannot receive the blessings. He's told us what to do to receive his blessings and his protection, and it's very clear to keep his commandments. But the reason I mention this is that the latest headline says this: Maine, meaning the state of Maine. I told you to be careful of the states too. The federal government's tyrannical, but the states are getting just as abusive of power. But Maine, the state of Maine, Maine church case goes to SCOTUS, or to the Supreme Court. Turns out that Maine now has the most severe restrictions in the nation on places of worship, Doctor.
Well, this is a little brush fire here and there, and Maine's kind of on the peripheral, but they're trying to do this at the national level. And the idea that they can intervene at all in these religious situations is completely in violation of the original intent of the American Founding Fathers. But we've talked about this before, where institutions, religious institutions, are ready to protect their own bacon and say, oh, no, we need to have our institutional formulaic worship, but they don't give a hang about an individual's conscience and belief system. And so there's religious institutions that are actually facilitating this thing as long as they receive a pass. So what they're doing is kind of like Hitler and Munich and all that kind of stuff. And Chamberlain says, we've obtained peace in our time, where Chamberlain gave away that which was not his to give away. And do we know how that turned out happily ever
after?
So
what you get is sell the rest. What you get is sell the rest down the river, but protect me. And what they'll find out is they will sell the rest down the river, but then your protection will eventually go away too, because the weight of the abuses will be too great. And where you thought you eked out a protection, you got betrayed. That's what'll happen.
That's right. There'll be no shelter for the religious institutions. They're very short-sighted in what they're doing. But what is before Congress right now as we speak is laws that will say, oh, if you are a religious person and you own a business, you can't give a non-abortion-providing healthcare plan to your people, because they have to have their rights to kill their baby protected, and you have to pay for it. And this is, so they take it into the marketplace. Our individual, our ability to even have a conscience anymore is being impinged upon by government. But it really sickens me. It angers me to think that there are institutions out there that are saying, we're okay with this as long as you make sure we can do our formulaic worship in our buildings and in our institution. And if they don't wake up, they are going to find that all the protections, the shelter that they have operated under, are all going to be gone by the time that that they come for them. And so we
Ladies
need
and
as
gentlemen,
a people
if you
to
trade
recognize
your security, if you trade your security, I'm sorry, your liberty for security, you're going to wind up with neither. Okay, and if you think that you can throw somebody else under the bus and preserve your rights or your special privilege before government, eventually they'll come back for you. They'll take what you give them, but they'll eventually circle back, and you will lose your protections and your, quote, privilege as well. Beware. We need to stand with God, family, and country. Stand with the Founding Fathers. They were wise and careful. And the only way for us to do the same is to carry forward their legacy and turn to God, family, and country. Dr. Bradley, thank you, sir.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to share some of these magnificent principles.
God save the Republic of the United States of America.